Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On this episode of the Heat Check, it's playing time. We've got two down, two to go. We're bringing in some heavy hitters to help us shake things out. For the Sixers versus the Heat game, we're joined by my guy, Spike Eskin, my former boss at WFAN in New York, and currently the Drive Time host on WIP in Philadelphia. I think he might be the only guy in Philadelphia who actually likes me. He also hosts the Rice to Ricky Sanchez podcast, a very top NBA pod in the market. He'll also give you all the tea that you want about the Sixers. We also grab my also guy, Lawrence Holmes, the top-rated Bernstein and Holmes radio show on WSCR, The Score in Chicago. He will help us make sense of the Hawks versus Bulls game. So much to get into. Let's not fuck around, Anthony. Drop that motherfucking beat. Should be Rihanna. Well, the Western Conference just got a lot more clarity after the Tuesday night games. The Lakers took down the Pelicans in the 7-8 game in what was an absolute awesome battle. Lakers ran off to a huge lead. Well, first and foremost, it was very back and forth. Pelicans went up. Then the Lakers had a huge lead, up by 13, 14 points. Then Zion and the Pelicans battled back and made it tight down the stretch. We were fucking tied with under a minute to go. And then, I don't know, it was like a phantom injury. Zion ends up going to the locker room, scored his 40th point, and then all of a sudden goes to the bench, and then I'm seeing him walk to the locker room. The Lakers did not look back. They took a four-point win in New Orleans. They have booked a date for the second straight year with the Nuggets. Night-night, sleep mask, probably Nuggets in four, not going to lie. LeBron was incredible. Anthony Davis was pretty clutch. D'Lo looked like the best player on the court for long stretches. Who could have thought that was going to happen? In the 9 versus 10, also Magic. We saw, not like the Orlando Magic, but we saw Magic. We saw the Warriors take on the Kings in a do-or-die battle. Loser goes home and licks their wounds. Lots of people were hyping this Warriors team as if they played great basketball in the last third of the season. But guess what? It's not one of those situations where it's a 7-game series, baby. Let's see how you play on a night-to-night basis, and let's see how you play at the Golden 1 Arena. Klay Thompson was fucking horrible. The worst adversity vibes I've ever seen in the NBA. 0 for 10. Maybe his last game in a Warriors outfit, Warriors uniform. Steph Curry was absolutely swallowed whole by Keon Ellis and Davion Mitchell. Keegan Murray came to play, boy. Hit 8 threes. Kings turned a tight game at halftime into a runaway laughingstock 24-point win. Oh, my goodness. The Kings exorcised the demons, and they now face a Pelicans team that they have not beaten all year. They're 0-5 against, but they are reeling, and the chance is theirs to take on the OKC Thunder, which is a team that I think the Kings can actually compete against and maybe even beat if they continue to shoot like they're shooting right now. Unreal shit. Unreal shit. This Wednesday, we see the Sixers and the Heat face off, and the Hawks and the Bulls. So I brought on Spike Eskin, who is my boss at WFAN for the past 2+ years, before he decided, I'm coming home, to take the 2-6 spot on WIP along with his friend Ike Reese. Spike has the highly rated Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast on the Sixers. He breaks down everything about the team and their chances against the Heat. Spike joined my other show, BetMGM Tonight, which airs 7 to 11 Eastern on the radio in most major markets and live on YouTube and Twitch. Let's get right into it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
76ers, 4.5-point favorites against the Heat. Total in that game, 208.5. To talk about that and the new show, Afternoons over on 94 WIPI. We welcome on now Spike Eskin. Spike, thanks so much for giving us some time tonight. How you been, man?
I'm great. How are you?
We're good, man. Probably not as good as you. Congratulations on the new show. What are you going to miss the most about leaving, or what are you going to miss the most about New York?
New York, the city, not much. I've lived in New Jersey, man. Like, my experience in New York, the city, was mostly just driving through the Holland Tunnel and then driving home. I will miss the camaraderie of the people that I've, built a relationship with in New York. And it's a boring, like, sort of personal answer, but that's what I'll miss most. That and whining Jet fans and whining Met fans, I think, probably are top.
Yeah, those are fun to troll. Yes. Over to the Sixers, I gave this out in February and then took it about a week ago. Sixers to win the East in right around the Super Bowl was 15-1. It's +850 now.
Yeah, I am looking third, right?
Yes, third. Yeah. I've been scrolling through your Twitter. The excitement level from you, as I think a chronic pessimist, is about as high as I've ever seen. Like, where are you at? Why are you so stoked about this team versus the other teams that we've seen in the past?
So I think I'm getting older and I don't want to be pessimistic anymore. This is like, is part of, this is genuinely part of it. But I would say two things specifically. One, when Joel has played this year, they're the best version of a Joel team that we have seen. I think numbers, like, numbers show that. I think they're 31-8, but also they won handily. Like, they look really good when he played. I think the second thing is, normally when they go into the playoffs and he gets hurt, it's a lot closer to the playoffs. So when he comes back, there's this sort of like, you're getting 60% of him and you just sort of know how it's going to go in your mind. But this time he got hurt like 2.5-3 months ago, and he was out the entire amount of time. They said 6 to 8 weeks. He was out for more than 8 weeks, and he came back and he looked good. So I think, you know, it's not optimal to be in the play-in, obviously, but I think the reality is that you look at them as a 46 or 47 wins, whatever it was, 47-win team. That's not really what they are. I think if Joel plays 60 or 65 games, they're probably a 55-win team or 54-win team, and they're the second seed and a clear second seed. I think they're a clear, you know, Boston's probably minus 150 and the Sixers are probably plus 250 to win the East, something like that. So I think that's genuinely what we're dealing with. Now, they've been favorites going into the playoffs before, but they've always had a giant question mark aside from Joel. Giant question mark Ben, giant question mark Harden in the playoffs. There's no giant question mark aside from him. It's just him. So I'm sort of at peace with he'll either play well enough for them to win or he won't, but at least I won't have to worry about James Harden disappearing in a deciding game. I want to put my head through a wall, you know?
Like, what version of Joel health-wise do we need in order for them to make a deep run, do you think? Because we saw him look a little dinged the last game. He was limping. He played through it. Wasn't going up for rebounds. Wasn't as aggressive as he normally is. So I'm a little concerned about his health.
Yeah, I think the hard thing that we can't know is whether he was being cautious in the second half because he was nervous about hurting his knee, or whether it wasn't stable, you know. And I'm playing, you know, like TV doctor or whatever, but he was grabbing it. But then when he's walking to the locker room afterwards, he's walking normal, you know. So I really, and he's a bit of a drama queen. So it's very hard to tell how much it hurts. What do they need health-wise? That's tough. 85, 90%. I mean, you got to win the NBA title, right? I mean, and they, even if they beat New York and they beat, let's say, Milwaukee, then they still run into Boston or something. So, and then Denver. So you're not doing those sorts of things with, you know, Joel at 60 or 70%.
What do you think about this matchup for Maxey? Obviously, it's a play-in game. It's a low total in the game, 207.5, 206.5, but he's averaged just 21 against Miami. His point prop, 23.5. He's going to win most improved player. You really can't even bet that market right now. How do you feel about this matchup for him tomorrow night against the Heat?
Well, they have guys. There's actually, it's funny, we just taped a podcast with Daryl Morey for a podcast that'll be out later tonight. And he, not in a bragging way, he was just like, there's nobody that can guard Maxey one-on-one anymore. Like, he's elevated to that sort of level where he can just sort of score whenever he, or get to the rim whenever he wants to. And he's definitely, I would say, different in the last month of the season than he was in the first 3 months of the season. He, in the fourth quarter, he has become much more reliable, and he knows he can get there. So I don't, like, Miami is a tough defensive team, and they've got tough defensive players, and they're a son of a bitch to play in the playoffs. But I'm not, like, worried about him anymore. I think him in the playoffs is a 25 point a game guy. You know, I think he is that. And I think if they have a full series or two or three or whatever, you will see games where he, you know, he leads them. He scores 40 points or something like that. So I'm pretty optimistic about him in the playoffs.
Who's that other guy, like, other than Tobias Harris? Is it Kelly Oubre, like, that has to step up and score the basketball? Not only in this game, like, if they're going to make a run, though, other than Maxey and Embiid?
Well, it's not Tobias Harris. Let me just clear everything up. I've lost faith. God bless him if it is. We were just saying, if Tobias shows out in these playoffs and they win a title, he can have another max contract. You know, like, I don't care. Sure, whatever. So I think it might depend on the game, as we've seen it from a bunch of different players. I think if you were to be hopeful, Hield playing with Embiid, Hield's not creating any offense, but Hield playing with Embiid should create a bunch of open shots. But I know it sounds nuts, And I was not a believer for the first three quarters of the season, but Kelly Oubre has been pretty awesome, and he's won me over. And I think sometimes mentally, like, it takes a while for your brain to catch up with what you can do physically. And Kelly Oubre had been selfish in other places, played selfishly. He played selfishly in Charlotte. They didn't like playing with him in Golden State. He played selfishly out there. You know, but something happened, and he has kind of figured it out. And he goes to the rim with reckless abandon. He is unafraid to shoot, even though he's not a great shooter. He competes defensively. So, scary enough, I would say that the third guy on the team, if they need a guy, is a minimum contract guy. I think it's probably Oubre. And I'm sure my guess would be he loses us a game and he wins us a game in the playoffs is probably what will happen. But the wins us a game night will be fun.
There'll be a big D'Anthony Melton game too. We've seen him come up for Memphis. Is he healthy though? Like, it feels like there's kind of some opacity in terms of like where he is health-wise.
Yeah, I'm not optimistic. He's had a back thing for months now, and this is twice that they've tried to bring him back. They brought him back once. He was out again for 2 weeks or a week afterwards, and then when they brought him back against Orlando, he played 5 minutes and then didn't play the next game, and Nurse was not optimistic. So I'm not optimistic about Melton. Though I do think, Kyle Lowry is not cooked. You know, I thought he was cooked. I thought that's why Miami let him go. He's not cooked at all. And I think it's not like you're going to see him score 25 points, but I think there's a 12.6 assist game that if you're watching it, you're like, he's the reason they won the game. I think that could happen, though.
Yeah, especially in this play-in game, Kyle Lowry revenge spot obviously gets waived by the Heat. Yep. It seems like that story didn't end the way that they wanted. Now, say you're playing against the Knicks. Obviously, the Knicks have been looking really, really good when they got OG Anunoby. No Julius Randle for the rest of the season, but they've got Mitch Robinson back. Hartenstein has been much better, not just coming off the bench, but as a starter as well. Like, what do you think about that matchup? Because I feel like you're more confident than I've heard many Sixers fans in terms of that matchup.
Well, I mean, I understand why they wouldn't be confident, right? Like, they compete very hard. They will be a tough out, the Knicks, for sure. And Jalen Brunson's really good, and they beat the Sixers senseless in all but one game this season. But I guess I just feel like I've seen this kind of team before that has a small guard, a small high-usage guard who dominates during the regular season, and a team that tries harder than everybody else during the regular season. But then when the playoffs comes around, and everybody else is trying hard, all of a sudden the advantage that they had during the regular season doesn't exist in the same way. And I think Jalen Brunson's really good, but he works hard for those points. He's not particularly good at creating for other people the way that the other sort of like heliocentric players are, the Hardens, Luka, blah, blah, blah. And even those guys have trouble getting a team all the way because it's hard to do that as one player. And I just see him like, who else is scoring points on that team? You know, how are they getting to 108 or 110 it sounds basic, but like, how are they scoring enough points to do that? And where's the offense coming from? And I'm skeptical of any team that does that. And Brunson is like a level below the Lukas and Hardens of the world. So I'm not worried. It would be a tough series, but I think the Sixers would win it.
Sixers and seven, he says.
I like it. Spike, thanks so much, man. Good luck on the new show.
We'll Congrats, be listening brother.
Tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m., right?
Yes, 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 sir and ma'am. Thank you very much.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Thank you to Spike for this. We now turn to Lawrence Holmes, friend of the show, co-host of the Dan Bernstein, co-host with Dan Bernstein of the Bernstein and Holmes Show on WSCR, The Score in Chicago. Again, Lawrence joined BetMGM tonight. He really got into the weeds and the bulls and what they need to do to win tomorrow night and in the future. Let's get right into it.
Tomorrow night, the Bulls are 3.5-point favorites over the Atlanta Hawks in the play-in tournament. To talk about that, maybe some Bears as well, we welcome on now Lawrence Holmes. You hear him 10-2 on 670 The Score. Lawrence, what's going on, man?
What's up, fam? How y'all doing?
We got a play-in game. It seems like the Bulls and Billy Donovan didn't want to rest a single soul against the Knicks to simulate a play-in game. They are, what, 3.5-point favorites? 4.5-point favorites? The line keeps moving all around. What you think?
I think that we need to pay real close attention to the injury report tomorrow, because Ayo Dosunmu has been on the injury report, and he is Trae Young's kryptonite. When he plays and guards Trae Young, Trae Young doesn't do all the magical stuff that we're used to him doing. So that to me is like one of the major factors of the game. As weird as it sounds, because Ayo's not really a player that you talk a ton about, but if he's not available tomorrow or he's limited, that could spell a lot of trouble for the Bulls.
Yeah, how do you feel about DeMar? Not only like player props tomorrow, because I feel like everybody's going to bet DeMar DeRozan, but I didn't understand, and I guess what they were doing against the Knicks, but he played 40 minutes. They go into overtime in that game. Any concerns about him? Like, you know, I guess they've had a couple days to rest here, but just his status going into this game after playing so many minutes?
No, I mean, they've done this all year with DeMar. He's leading the league in minutes, which is ridiculous at his age. But have you guys heard the secret weapon is going to be in the house tomorrow?
Who's that?
DeMar's daughter.
Oh, yes.
I saw that on his Instagram page. Yeah.
Yes. DeMar's daughter is going to be in the house over at the United Center. So get ready for this, all the screeching and everything else that she does to disrupt people who are shooting free throws. So I think it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Lawrence, I'm kind of a hater because I feel like fans should just boycott the UC. Like every time I go home, I spend a tremendous amount of money on tickets, and I'm sick of like the playing tournament, and I want to go back to the 90s, and I'm kind of like sick of this current roster. So what happens after this season? Let's say maybe they even win the play-in, they sneak in into the NBA playoffs, they're going to get bounced in the opening round. What's next? Because I don't know what's next for Lonzo Ball. Happy that he's working out again. Zach LaVine, it seems like nobody wants to take on that contract or that trade. Like, what's the future for this team? Are they just going to keep running it back with this current roster and winning 37, 38 games every year?
Well, Ryan, it feels like you're on it, man. Like, this is just kind of how they roll. And it's really disappointing because you could see what the vision was when Lonzo was healthy.
Yeah.
You can see that's what they were trying for. And to a certain extent, they got it. That first half of the season that they were all together, everything worked great. But it's been a long time. It's been basically three seasons the Bulls haven't had a point guard, and that doesn't make any sense at all. It feels like they're very content as an organization to be leading the league in attendance, which is crazy. Yeah. The ninth place team in the Eastern Conference is leading the league in attendance. And look, the United Center be popping. Like, it's a fun time. Mm-hmm. It's fun to go to a game. All of the in-game stuff there is great. Their stadium ops, great. All of it. It would just be nice if the basketball caught up with the entertainment value of what they do. And it really does feel like they're going to run all of this stuff back, that they're going to have DeMar back there with this group and hope that Zach's healthy and hope that Lonzo can do something for them next year. We had LeVar on our station last week, and he was out here quoting The Rock. I don't know if y'all saw it. He's calling the workouts. He called the workouts that the Bulls have Rudy Poo. Poo.
Yeah, our group text is going crazy over that one, by the way. Yeah, everybody's like, damn, this guy's still around? Where's he? Where's Ben? Yeah, I was a big fan of that.
Score producers, man, they'll find anybody, especially anyone talking about Rudy Poo workouts.
No, that's crazy. How do we hold this team, this organization, accountable? Obviously, The score being the home of the Bulls, you're obviously in contact with AK, with Mark Eversley, with the folks that are in charge. Like, when you speak to them, knowing that you are a part of the mouthpiece of the fan, like, what do you say to nudge them in the direction of being held accountable and going in a different direction? Or is it even them? Is this ownership that's just content with going in this direction?
We had our show, Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi. We had AK and Eversley in our studio for an hour. It was amazing. It was an amazing event. We got to find out more about them because most of us don't know a lot about those two guys. They're very private dudes. So having them come in and do an hour was pretty spectacular. I think that those guys want to win. Like, I don't get the sense that they're slacking to be slacking. You know what I mean? Like, the basketball ops people to me don't seem like they're just content with being a play-in team. I think they would prefer to not be a play-in team. I think it goes a little bit higher. I think that they're still reeling and they don't know how to pivot. And they kind of, the Zach LaVine thing, I was one of the only people in Chicago that was against giving him a max. Yeah. And it's weird because I think that he's a player that deserved a max contract but wasn't a max player, if that makes
right.
sense.
Yes.
Like, he had earned it, but you kind of knew what was going to happen once he got money, and his health issues have been problematic. DeMar is an incredible leader. I think that the guys really respond to him. They really respect him, but he's towards the end of his career. I still would probably, what's the points prop on DeMar for tomorrow?
I think 23.5 is where it was.
Oh, I thought it was higher than that.
Oh, if it's 23.5.
Yeah.
I still say go over it. He's going to do everything that he can do to try to push them to win. And sometimes that's the best thing for the franchise, and sometimes it's not. You know, luckily they've seen growth this year from Coby White. He's turned into quite a player. He'll be in the most improved player conversation at the end of the season, but DeMar is that dude.
29.5.
And is it 29.5?
29.5 right
now?
Yeah,
29.5 now.
I would still go over. Just barely, like, but I would go over. Because he's going to get after it, and if there's any sort of problem or the Bulls are struggling, he will take it upon himself to try and fix the problem.
If Io is not playing in this game, or he's limited in this game, would you still go under on Trae Young's points, considering that he's just coming back from a finger surgery? 23.5 is his points.
If there's no IO or it's hobbled IO, I'd go over, because the screen roll game that they play with him, it's hard. Like, the thing about IO is that IO's athletic and long, and he likes to get into an offensive player's shirts. The only other player that can do that for the Bulls,
Caruso,
is Caruso, but he's going to be occupied. Like, it's weird. He kind of has to play free safety for the Bulls a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they'll switch him and they'll use a little bit of combination defense and put him on Trae Young. But what they would love to be able to do is say to Io, go out there and irritate this guy for 48 minutes and give us an opportunity to win.
Where are you at with Billy Donovan? I know you said you just expect them to run it back, and that's kind of where I'm at too. I thought there was a chance maybe that Kentucky would just wait, interview Billy Donovan, he'd go back to the college game. You think he's a good coach? You think he's back next year most likely?
I think he's good. I really enjoy him when he talks. Like, I've been in a bunch of Billy press conferences pregame, and I feel like that's some of the most basketball that I've learned over the last couple of seasons, is sitting there listening to him talk about the game. Sometimes the problem is it feels like Billy is the color analyst for the team instead of the head coach.
Yeah.
Like, he knows some of the problems, but he doesn't realize, you know, you're the coach, you could actually do something about some of those problems. I think that he's not great, and he's definitely not terrible. He's kind of middle of the road. If you had a better team, I'd feel better about Billy being the coach of it. But with some of the personnel problems, and he's joked about having $70 million on the bench, it's a lot to overcome, and you better be a special coach if you're going to have to overcome all of this stuff. I thought that the flirtation with Kentucky was real, but when you really go back and listen to some of the things that Billy has said before this even came up, he's talked about the college game. He doesn't want any part of it. Like, you can tell he doesn't like all of the different levers that a college coach has to pull on now to be a college coach. He's got a great life. Like, he's making millions of dollars. He's got that NBA lifestyle, and the pressure isn't a lot. I mean, I hate to say that because it shouldn't be that way. In the third largest market in the country, the pressure should be really high for a winner. But people have just been kind of like, yeah, okay, when it comes to the Bulls.
Is that like a Midwest thing to you, or is that like a frog that's been just like slowly boiling in water?
It's weird because even though Chicago is Midwest,
that's a good question, though.
I would say that when it comes to our sports teams, we are not like it's ordinary. Like we're pretty hardcore, and like Minnesota polite is like a real thing. Like the passive aggressiveness of someone from Minnesota. People from Wisconsin are super nice. Indiana folks are like salt of the earth. And honestly, outside of Chicago in the state of Illinois, everyone is very chill. But the state of Chicago is a very different place. So the pressure, it's interesting because the Bulls, and you go into that place, you see the Jordan statue, you see the banner. There's still an element of the Bulls as an organization living off of that.
Yeah.
And you wish that they could get over it and that they would start trying to win right now. But I'll just tell you, Trista, if you want to get a glimpse of how Chicago is not Midwest nice, talk to any White Sox fan that you know.
Especially right now.
You will not hear nice from White Sox fans right now.
Lawrence, thanks so much, man. We'll be listening tomorrow. Good luck, Lawrence. To the Bulls. I kind of want them to lose, but we'll be watching the show. We'll be listening.
Yeah,
to
listen
you guys
on
tomorrow.
The sports tomorrow because we got Dawn Staley on the show tomorrow,
what?
Y'all.
What
11
time?
O'clock. Oh, 11 yeah, o'clock man. Central. We are going to have Dawn on the show.
Hell yeah.
It'll be a big year for the
Angel
Sky,
Reese.
Too.
Yeah, I didn't even ask you about Angel Reese and Camila Cardoso.
Next time,
yep,
we'll do
next
it.
Next time. Bad girls.
Thanks, man. Lawrence Holmes, 10-2 on 670 The Score. BetMGM tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back.
That's all the time that we have for this episode of Heat Check. Many thanks to Spike and Lawrence. Come back tomorrow for an all-new episode breaking down the playoff seedings. And check out the feed for past episodes and mini episodes which drop unexpectedly, like the Golden State Warriors to the Sacramento Kings. Oh no, Dubs! Oh no! Do not forget to follow the Heat Check as we continue into the playoffs. That means download, that means subscribe, that means tell all your friends. Every single one of them. Even that dumbass friend that has that like notification to turn your phone off when it gets too close to your face and you've got your script up, and so then it shuts your script off. Say, hey, stop it. Anyway, do not forget to follow us at This Heat Check and at Trista Crick on TikTok, Twitter, and IG. And at some point, I promise, YouTube!